Everyone, let's give a hand to whatever is happening in the life of DUMC. First and foremost, welcome everybody back to our celebration. I'm blown away because the tickets that were available for this weekend were fully booked. All right, and it's just incredible to see that, and I'm just overjoyed and also extremely nervous because the tickets are fully booked. Of all weekends, you guys, but I'm glad to see all of you. And those of you online as well, do come and join us, all right? Tickets are available every Tuesday, all right, of the week. Come and join us, bring your friends and family as well. All right, welcome everyone once again. Please allow me to introduce myself, all right? My name is Terry Yao, and I'm a pastor here in DUMC. I pastor the Next Gen Teens. The next geners are cheering if you can't hear online because they have to, right? All right, next gen? No? Okay, never mind. All right, and I would like just to take this time to kind of update you guys and introduce you to my family. All right, so if you see on the screen right now is my lovely family, which should appear now. Now. There we go, all right? So that's my lovely wife, Rose. The little girl over there is Louisa. She's 4 this year, and that's Owen, who loves dinosaurs more than his papa, and he's 2. And as you can see, we are expecting number 3, which, praise God, because we went to the doctors, and the doctor says everything's fine. She should be arriving in 2 to 3 weeks' time. All right, so Rose and myself, we are extremely excited and really blessed excited about the non-sleeping nights and all of the package that comes with having kids. And we just can't wait for our number 3 to arrive. Just a quick funny story. We are naming her Lindsay. And my first daughter's name is Louisa, Owen, and Lindsay. And what does that stand? What does that kind of... LOL. Do you know why we name them that way? So when times when we have to wake up at 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 5 a.m., 6 a.m., we must remember to laugh out loud. Amen? Okay, not all of you agree with me. All right. That's fine. Now, the church is embarking on a 4-part series based on the song Joy to the World, as you might have seen in DUMC News. Now, today I have the privilege of kicking off this series. And I'll be speaking about the topic on hope. And it's based on the first 2 lines of the verse, Joy to the world, the Lord has come. At this point of time, can I invite those of you here in Dream Center, if you could stand up to your feet as we read scripture. And those of you online as well, can I encourage you, all right, wherever you are at, read out scripture with boldness, we want to hear that audible power. All right, fill your condo or your house. I want your neighbors to be hearing the word of God. So those of you online, are you excited and are you ready to read? Yes. Okay, and those of you here in Dream Center, let's read it with boldness and passion, shall we? Okay, now we'll be reading from Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 27 on the count of 3. 1, 2, 3. Now, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions, for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, would you come and fill this place and fill every room, every home, every hall of those that are tuning in online. Holy Spirit, would you minister to our hearts today, Lord? In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. You may grab your seats. It's been an interesting past 2 years, huh? The reality is for a lot of us, it's been really tough 2 years. And if you're like me, I've grown in areas that I don't intend to grow in. This this shirt over here used to be a loose fit, it is now slim fit, you know. But all jokes aside, it's been a tough 2 years for a lot of us. Statistics alone in our nation show that over 78,000 divorce cases were recorded since the start of the pandemic. That is about 36.9% growth from 2019. Unemployment rates increased by 62.5%. COVID cases hitting at 2.5 million to date, taking about 30,000 lives to date as well. One would think that it is an uphill task today for me to talk about hope in these times and circumstances. About 2 weeks ago, I was playing football with some of my friends, and I remember this about 3-4 years ago, Pastor Chris encouraging all of us to think missional, you know, even in our social activities. And I remember being, I'm very passionate about football, and so I managed to join this football team. And all of them are not Christians, which was great. But at the same time, it was difficult because they're all not Christians, and the way that they live their lives and what they say was very non-Christian-like, which was fine with me, and I was excited. Now, 2 weeks ago, as I was resting after the game, I was speaking to this teammate of mine, and I said, hey, it's the end of the year. So what do you have planned, and what are you looking forward to in 2022? And he looked at me, and he said, look forward to? What's wrong with you? There's nothing to look forward to. You know, Terry, I've lost my job. You know, at the beginning of the pandemic, I've been, like, you know, really finding hard to, like, meet ends, and there really is nothing to look forward to. I remember sitting there, and I looked at him, and I said, I get what you're saying. I said, but you know what, bro? All we have is hope. Hope of a better future. Hope of things to look better. And he looked at me, and he was like smoking, and he was like, wait a minute. Is this one of your Christian things that you're trying to say to me? Now, the thing is, the joke is, they know that I'm a pastor. So they don't call me by my name. They just call me Jesus boy, or they call me pastor, pastor. And he looked at me and said, wait a minute, is this one of your Christian things? Is this one of your Christian hope things that you guys talk about? Now, that got me thinking, what is Christian hope? You know, and I want to just share with us today the big idea, and I'll continue the story later, but the big idea that I want to share today is this, is Christ is our never-ending hope. Thank you, Pastor Chris, for saying amen. Christ is our never-ending hope. There are three kinds of hope in our lives, in our world today, all right? And the first kind is wishful hope. Now, wishful hope is false hope, all right? It's actually worthless. It's not based on any facts. Let me give you an example. Wishful hope is this. You go out for lunch, and while you're driving, you're saying, oh man, I hope there's parking. It's not based on anything. It's just wishful thoughts. Or, oh wait a minute, there's one more wishful hope that I can think of right now. Oh man, I hope Manchester United wins something this season. Wishful, not based on facts. I promised my friend that I would not talk about Manchester United today. I'm sorry, my friend, if you are watching this, I apologize. It's wishful hope is not the kind of hope that you can build your life on, right? Now, the second type of hope is this. There's expectant hope. Now, expectant hope is a little stronger than wishful hope. It has some basis to it. Let me give you an example, all right? If I had planted a tomato seed, I hope this tomato seed grows into a tomato plant, thus I hope it produces fruit. Correct? You guys get it? That's expectant hope. It has some basis. All right? Or if some of you, during this pandemic period, this MCO, the last 2 years, you know, you decided to transform your house into a forest reserve, you know, by getting into, like, you know, going into plants, planting plants, until your entire hall looks like Frim. I'm not going to mention names, but Pastor Sarah. then you will know that, you know, as you do, as you plant a seed of a plant and you propagate it and you water it, there's hope that it would flourish and grow into the plant that is intended to be. That's expectant hope. It has some basis. Unfortunately, even expected hope doesn't always come through. It's not something that is certain. And I can attest to that because I tried planting some plants. I killed multiple cactuses in my house during the last 2 years. And they said cactus is the easiest thing. So obviously, I'm not as good as Pastor Sarah. So that's expectant hope. You guys get it? You guys understand? All right? Now, there's a third kind of hope which the Bible talks about, which is certain hope. Now, the Bible talks about this kind of hope, and it's something that we can build our lives on. It is not wishing, it is not just expecting, but it's knowing for certain that you are going to have what you hope for. Now, can we turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6, verses 18, 19, and we can find it here as, you know, it's described here. Now, God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. I would like us to read the Living Bible version, as I believe it brings a lot more clarity and weight to this portion of Scripture. I'm just going to read it out, the Living Bible version. Now, He has given us both His promise and His oath. Two things we can completely count on, for it is impossible for God to tell a lie. Now, all those who flee to Him to save them can take new courage when they hear such assurances from God. Now, they can know without doubt that He will give them the salvation He has promised them. This certain hope. I want you to highlight that if you have your Bibles with you. This certain hope of being saved is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls, connecting us with God Himself behind the sacred curtains of heaven. Now, the author here points out three characteristics of hope. First one is this. This type of hope, this certain hope that he's talking about is strong. It is solid. It's not weak. It's not easily crumbled. It is a strong, firm type of hope. Second thing is, it's trustworthy, dependable. You can depend on this sort of hope. And thirdly, it is an anchor for our souls. Now, what does an anchor do? An anchor keeps a ship from drifting. That's the first thing. And we all know, and Pastor Chris shared this sermon as well, and warned us about drifting. You know, as we are unaware, we may drift away further and further away from the promises that God has in store for our lives. Now, an anchor keeps us from drifting with the current. The second thing that an anchor does is that it keeps us steady in stormy weather. And oh boy, if you've been in stormy weather, you know how scary that is and how hopeless the situation kind of presents itself. But the anchor keeps the ship steady, secure, even in stormy weather. Now, the Bible says that this is the kind of hope that we find in Christ and that we can fully, fully depend on. So how can we be anchored by this kind of hope? How can we attain this kind of hope? And you must be sitting here thinking to yourself, wow, yeah, that's amazing, but how do I find it, Terry? How can I attain this? You don't need to look far, because this type of hope is found in Christ Himself. Now, let's reread Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 to 27. Now, I rejoice in what I'm suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of His body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in its fullness. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me just share a very brief context of what Paul is writing here in Colossians chapter 1. Now, Paul writes this while he's in prison. And it's in response to this man called Epaphras, who visited him before that to kind of update Paul on the church in Colossae. And Epaphras, you know, was highlighting that, yeah, the church was growing, but they were under certain cultural pressures, tempting them to turn away from Jesus. Now, the two main cultural pressures tempting them to turn away was mystical polytheism, which is basically a lot of the people in Colossae grew up worshipping various Greek and Roman gods and goddesses. And when they became Christians, they simply implemented Jesus as one more deity that they can worship. So that's one. And the second is the observance of the laws of the Torah. It was pressure from the Jewish Christians in Colossae to the non-Jews in observing Old Testament laws. It's very similar and very much like what the Galatians were facing at that time. So Paul was writing this letter to remind the Colossians that, you know, the essence of the mystery mentioned in verse 26 is revealed in Christ himself, that they can find the fullness of that essence of mystery that was mentioned in the Old Testament by prophets and the signs and metaphors that were mentioned in the Old Testament about this coming Messiah. He's reminding the church in Colossae that, hey, the essence of that mystery that all the forefathers and all that were talking about is found in revealed in Christ himself. That because Christ is now in us, in you and me, we now have the hope of glory. Because Christ is now on this earth and is in you and me, because of the redemptive work of the cross, the death swallowed up in victory by his resurrection, the hope of future glory that you and I now have because he's coming back again one day, is found and made possible because Christ is in you and me. So you don't have to look far. You don't have to strive. You don't have to attain this sort of hope. Paul is telling us, he's reminding us that if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you give your life to him, if he's the anchor of your soul, it is already within you. Do you guys feel hopeful after hearing that? Thank you, Pastor Chris. I'm going to talk a little bit about the origins of the song Joy to the World. And we are basing this four-part series on this song. And this song was written by this guy called Isaac Watts in year 1719, not so long ago. It was actually meant to be a poem, all right? It wasn't a song originally. It was a poem in his collection of poems entitled The Psalms of David, and it's based mostly on Psalm 98. Now, years later, in 1836, this man called Lowell Mason, who's a composer, composed a melody to the poem. Thus was born a song that is sung all over the world by millions, by billions of people every single year during this season called Christmas. Now, Lowell Mason was quoted saying this when he was asked about the song. Now he writes, "The vision of this song inspires the listeners to look forward to the future at a time when sin is finally evicted and all of humanity will bask in the glory of the Almighty's righteousness." He adds on, "We must hope and rejoice because the future will be bright." We must hope and rejoice because the future will be bright. Friends, we can sing and proclaim joy to the world because the Lord has come. we can sing joy to the world in the midst of our struggles and our suffering. Because the Lord has come. Let me repeat myself. Because He has come, because of the work on the cross, because of the redemption and salvation that's offered to us, we can still sing joy to the world. We can proclaim joy and hope to our situations because He has come. That's what it means. Let me go back to the story of my football friend who would love to remain anonymous. After the game, I said, "Hey, do you have a minute? Let's talk about what we just spoke about." And he was a little bit reluctant, but he said, "Yeah, sure." And we went for a drink after that. And I started to talk to him and ask him and say, "What do you mean about this Christian hope? This Christian thing that you're doing?" And I said, "I'm not upset, I'm not offended, but I'm curious." And it must have been the Holy Spirit because he looks like a very intimidating guy, honestly. If you're watching this, you do look intimidating. And he was like, "Well, no, it's just that you Christians have this false optimism of that everything's going to be okay." And I said, "You know what? I agree with you. Because hope is not optimism. It's different." I said, "You know what? Optimism is, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, everything's fine. Yeah, everything's fine." You know, there's this, the young people, they like looking at these things called memes. And there's this meme, I wish I could have put it up, but there's this meme of a dog sitting down with a cup of coffee, and all around that dog is like, it's burning down to ashes. And there's a little bubble, a quote bubble that says, "I'm fine. It's okay. Everything's fine." That's optimism. Optimism is it's a false sense of reality. I mean, I'm not saying that if you're an optimist that you're a horrible person. No, I mean, I was a pessimist before. I became a Christian and I certainly prefer people who are optimistic, you know, instead of being pessimistic. But anyway, I told him, I said, "Look, there's a difference between the hope that I'm talking about and optimism. Because hope sounds a bit like this. It's not good. Times are tough, man. I'm struggling, man. The winds and waves are crashing down all around me. But you know what? I believe it will turn out well. I know one day the sun's going to come up again." It's acknowledging the real situation, the current situation that I believe a lot of us here are facing as well. But it's choosing to believe, to say, "I believe that the situation is going to come out good." And I explained that to him, and I was just talking to him a little bit more. And I asked him about, you know, him being laid off. He was a pilot, right? Quite a successful pilot. And at the beginning, the couple of months of the pandemic, he had lost. They let him go. And suddenly, his entire world came crashing down. And, it took me 1.5 years later to kind of ask him this question, which I feel a bit guilty about. But I asked him, I said, "So, how are you doing now, really?" And he looked at me and he said, "I'm worried. I'm still worried. And you know what, Terry? I feel like I can't sleep at night. I can't look past the week. And I don't know what to do." And he said these words to me, and which is why he wanted to remain anonymous, because he was a bit shy of it. And he's like, "Somehow I want to understand and have this kind of hope that you Christians have." Without me prompting, without me probing anything, he had brought up that point himself. And I shared with him, "This is what I believe in. This is the hope that the Bible talks about, that God offers us, that God tells us in the Word that we can build our lives on. That in the midst of storms, in the midst of struggling, in the midst of strife, the anchor for our souls, this is the kind of hope that He offers, because Christ has come and Christ has defeated death. And because He's going to come back again, we have a future hope of glory. And we hold on to that. I say, that's what I hold on to. And when I said that, I said, look, I don't want to make this weird for you, but do you want to try this? Do you want to invite Christ into your life? I said, look, this past 1.5 years has been tough. I cannot imagine the torture and the times when you could not sleep. I cannot imagine that. I said, do you want to have Christ in your life? And he looked at me, he looked around to make sure that none of his friends were around. And with tears in his eyes, he said, yes. And then I led him in the Lord's Prayer. Then he accepted Christ. And man, he started bawling. He started crying in the mama. It was very awkward because there I was sitting and this big guy with tattoos all over is crying. And they're wondering, wow, what is this guy doing? What did he do to him? You know, it was a little bit funny, but I was just there for him and he was being ministered to by the Lord. Come on, give God praise. As we begin this season of Advent, let us remember that in the midst of our current situation, and those situations may point us towards hopelessness, but in the midst of our current situations, we have a certain hope, one that is strong, one that is dependable, and one that can serve as an anchor for our souls. And that hope is found in Christ alone. You know, I love the song that we sang just now. Anchor. I love that song because every time I sing that song, it reminds me that in whatever situation I find myself in whatever struggles I'm going through, or my family's going through, the anchor that holds me steady is not one of a wishful hope, it's not one of an expectant hope, but it's a certain hope. And it's not something that I conjured up myself, it's what the Word of God reminds me of. There is hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul. God will stand unshakable. There are a couple of people that I want to pray for today. As I draw us to a close, if you are here and you are in the midst of that struggling and strife, you don't see a way out. You are enraptured by hopelessness. If that's you, and if you have tuned in online as well, there is no coincidence. The Lord wants to remind you, anchor your hope in Him and Him alone. Would you submit and would you place your hope on the only one, on the only person that offers you a certain kind of assurance, and that is Christ alone? I'm not asking you to deny reality. No, your situation may be dire and tough, and you may be struggling. But can I encourage you today, lay down that situation and say, Christ, I can't see a way out. Every other, option that I've tried to do, it's not working out. Everything seems to be crumbling around me. God, I see only hopelessness. Lay that down before Him today and say, but God, I believe that You offer the only type of hope that's certain, So would that, Lord, serve as an anchor? Excuse me. The other group of people that I want to pray for, excuse me, today is for those of you who are here and you're not yet a Christian. And perhaps you were like my friend wondering, what is this Christian hope? What is this Christian thing that they're constantly talking about? Can I encourage you today? Would you invite Christ into your life? And know that in every situation, in every storm, in all the highs and lows, in every season, the one thing that remains constant and certain is Christ Himself. You know, if that's you, whether you're joining us online or if you're here in the auditorium in Dream Center, if that's you, can I just invite you just to close your eyes and say a quick prayer with me. Just follow after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the work on the cross. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins, that you defeated death. And Lord, that you offer us hope of future glory, Lord, because you are coming back again. Lord, I offer up my situation and my life to you. Would you come and take over? So, Lord, I invite you into my heart and I acknowledge you as my personal Lord and Savior. Come and speak to my heart. And Lord, I believe that you will change my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if you said that prayer for the first time, I really want to encourage you to click on the raise hand button or click the request prayer button on the online church platform right now. And one of our prayer hosts would love to speak to you further, would love to continue praying for you. Now, if you were in the first category and you're saying, Pastor Terry, I need God in my life. I need this certain hope in my life. I don't want the wishful hope. I don't want just expectant hope. I want to, you know, anchor my life on this certain hope. And if that's you, would you click that request prayer button as well? You know, and one of our prayer hosts will pray with you. And I believe, I proclaim that the Lord will give you peace in whatever situation, whatever storms that you are going through. Now, to those of us here in Dream Center, if I could invite you up to your feet, I would like to pray for those, for all of you. So come on, would you just stand up and now the floor is open as well. And if you want to respond to either of the two prayers, we have pastors here that will pray with you. But I just want to, you know, I would like for us to sing the chorus of this song, Anchor. We don't need the full band, but as we sing the chorus of this song, sing it from the depths of your heart and proclaim, in whatever situation that you may be going through, maybe you might be feeling that hopelessness and you do not see the light at the end of the tunnel that is next year. You do not see how you can get out of this. Would you proclaim the words of this song over your situation? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Sing, there is hope. us, Lord.
You gave everything to save the world you love.
Hallelujah.
And this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unshakable.
Sing it again.
There is hope in the promise of the cross. You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul. Our God will stand unshakable.
Sing your name.
Your name is higher. Your name is greater.
Come on, proclaim it.
Oh, my hope.
Even for those of you tuning in online, proclaim it with all your heart.
Your word unfailing. Your promise unshaken. Oh, my hope is in you. There is hope in the promise of the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
You gave everything to save the world you love. And this hope is an anchor for my soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Our God will stand.
Thank you, Lord.
Unshakable.
Hallelujah. So, Lord, I pray for each and every one of my brothers, Lord, and sisters that are here in Dream Center, and even those tuning in online right now. Lord, I pray, Lord, in the midst of hopelessness, in the midst of strife and struggle, in the midst of the winds and the waves, Lord, that they will look to the one that commands the winds and the waves. And that's you, Lord. So Holy Spirit, minister to the hearts of your people today. Lord, I pray for peace that surpasses all understanding. Lord, that as they look to you, Lord, Lord, would they find that certain hope. And Lord, may that hope be an anchor, Lord, for our souls. Hallelujah. Lord, protect them, Lord, from the work of the enemy that is out to dissuade and to lie to us, lying to us to believe that our situation is completely hopeless. Lord, I renounce that, Lord, and I proclaim, God, that's not the truth, because Lord, you bring hope that is certain for any situation. And Lord, I proclaim that over the lives of my brothers and sisters here. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen.